My major challenge today, this morning, I'm used to preaching with my wife around choice. Due to an emergency at her workstation, she had to be flown to Namibia urgently to sort out some issues with the organization is going through. So she was in Namibia for 2 weeks, and then she took advantage of that trip to be in Zimbabwe for a week home with our folks. So choice is away. And in most cases, when I'm preaching and she's here with me, she sits right in front, and when I look into her eyes, I'm able to know, have I gone overboard? Or am I still on track? So I constantly look into her eyes. Overboard in terms of time. Not overboard in terms of anything. Overboard in terms of time. But I believe the Lord Jesus Christ is here and he will minister to us. My message this morning is entitled, The Future. I didn't give the title to this message. It was the title that was given to me to say, Chris, the title of your message is The Future. From our series of Isaiah, The Future. And I say to myself, oh, how am I going to tell about the future? In as much as I would want to know as well what the future holds for me. And now I am supposed to preach about the future. Rarely and accurately do we know the future. Rarely and accurately do we know the future. And in most cases, we want to know what the future holds for us. Some people even go to the extent of go to palm readers to try for them to foretell the future. Those who are now learned, those who are doing PhDs and doctorates, they come with strategic plans, 5 years, 6 years, 10 years strategic plan, trying as much as possible to bring the future into the present. The scientists, the economists, they build models of trying to foretell what the future is going to be, the future. Today, our hearts are bleeding as we think of our brothers and sisters in Ukraine. We pray for them. What does the future hold for them? What does the future hold for them? Many times in life, we come to a situation whereby we feel as if we have come to a dead end. Maybe you are seated in here. The doctors, so learned as they are so good at pronouncing verdicts on us. This disease you have, it's terminal. Within 6 months, you will be with the Maker. They pronounce as if they are gods. And they pronounce an end. And we think by ourselves and say, oh God, is this a dead end? Sometimes, or it's you, maybe you are going through a situation whereby you are burdened heavily with debts. You can hardly breathe. Even your tomorrow, you can hardly say, what is it going to be? It's like a dead end. It's like a dead end. We have gone through, or we are still going through, this COVID pandemic. I was walking this other day along Abbey Road. I saw notices, restaurant up for sale, shop up for sale. The pandemic has ravaged the economy to the extent that things have been brought to a standstill. It's like a dead end. It's like a dead end. I think of myself back home in the country that I've been calling home, Eswatini, Swaziland. There is a big company, a conglomerate, listed on the Eswatini Stock Exchange. They run hotels in all of Africa, the Sun Hotels. But the pandemic come 2020, 2021, 2 years, the company had to be liquidated. hundreds of people thrown off onto the streets. It was like a dead end. The company is no longer on the stock exchange, liquidated. The 2 years of the pandemic, the company thrived on tourism. It thrived on visitors. It thrived on people visiting the hotel, visiting Eswatini. Come the pandemic, no visitation. The country, the world was under lockdown. Hotels suffered immensely. It was like a dead end. It's like a dead end. But today I have a message for you, a future. There is a future. There is a future. The Israelites, they came into Egypt only numbering 70. 430 years later, there were 600,000 men, excluding women and children. So if you try to estimate, those who estimate, it says that the population, that's Exodus chapter 30, chapter 12, verse 37. When the children of Israel were in Egypt for 430 years, they numbered almost like 2 million. And then that's when they left Egypt. But that's not my message. My message is this, which I am entitling, The Future. You are standing now at the verge, at the edge of the big river Jordan. The future is ahead of you. But there is no bridge. There is no bridge. Let's see this video. He wrote this. 700 years later, Jesus comes onto the scene. Luke chapter 4. Verses 18 to 22. 700 years later, Jesus comes onto the scene and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Verse 20. And Jesus rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant. And guess these wonderful words that he said. I'm imagining you sitting before Jesus. Hallelujah. 700 years later, Jesus now says, today, this scripture is fulfilled. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. It is the scripture of restoration. Isaiah, the whole of Isaiah 61, is talking of a future of restoration. There has been ruins, desolation, there has been destruction. Now Isaiah comes onto the scene and says, there is going to be a restoration. The Bible is a book of restoration. A restoration of a relationship of man and God. It's a restoration of you and our dear God. And this scripture today is being fulfilled. Jesus Christ said so. And handed over the script, the manuscript, back to the attendants. When you read the verse 3, 4, and 7, verse 3, it says, I'm going to restore your beauty. I'm going to restore your beauty. Verse 4, I'm going to rebuild the ruins. Verse 7, I'm going to double your portion. What have you been going through in your life? What are you going through right now in your life? God is promising you today, I am going to restore. My brother has been saying, maybe in our midst, there's someone who is sick, someone who is not feeling well. God is here today to restore, to make you whole again, to rebuild you, to give you back your strength. Our God is a healing God. He restores. As you sit in these pews, I am reminded of this good God. Many times we think that it is us who are seeking God. It is us who went after God. But let me tell you, it is God who came after us. Hallelujah. It is God who came after you. It is not you who went after God, but it is God who took the initiative to come after you. That's how precious you are in God's sight. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world. It is not for men so loved God that they went after God. No, no, no. Read your scriptures. For God so loved the world. It is Him who took the initiative. He loved the world. And what did He do? He gave His one and only Son, that if you believe, you won't perish, but you have everlasting life. It is God who came after you. Paul says, so that no one can boast. So that no one can boast. It is God who came after us. John 10, verse 10, Jesus says, I came so that you can have life and have it in abundance. He came. We didn't go to Him. He came to us. If you read in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, the Bible says, behold, this is Jesus speaking, behold, I stand by the door of your heart and I am knocking. When someone is knocking, it means it is Him who has taken the initiative to walk, to come to you, to come to your door. It is not you who came out of your house to go to that person. No, it is Him who has taken the initiative to take the walk, to come to your door and knock. As we stand in this church, God loved us so much. He came after us. When you feel so dejected, when you feel as if it is a dead end, let me tell you, when you stand before the River Jordan and you think there is no bridge, the Lord will make a way for you. He is the way maker. He is the promise keeper. He is the light in darkness. What kind of a God do we serve? This is the kind of a God we serve. He can work miracles in our lives. It's restoration. Isaiah reminds me of the story or the parable of the prodigal son. It's restoration. If you read on Isaiah, the verse 10, I delight gladly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for He has clothed me with the garments of righteousness of salvation. The prodigal son, when he realized, he came to his senses, it is him, he took the initiative. The father was always there with open arms, waiting, as he is waiting today. As he is waiting for you today. He came after you, and he made himself available to you. He took himself up to the cross for your sake, for you and me. And on that cross, he says, it is done. You don't need to worry. You don't need to carry the burden anymore. You don't need to seek the future. He is the future. Our Lord Jesus is the future. No wonder when the scripture is read 700 years later, Jesus says, behold, the scripture today is fulfilled. Jesus is our future. And you have Him with you today. Can you open your heart to Him that He can work wonders in your life? The Bible, Isaiah 10 says, He can clothe us with salvation. What do you need to do? Trust in the Lord. Trust in God. Have faith in this God. And what is faith? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the certainty of things not seen. Faith. When you don't have, when you are standing before the River Jordan, when you are not there in Canaan, you are on this other side, faith tells you, I am there. Faith is the assurance of things you are hoping for, things you don't have. You are hoping for healthy. You are hoping for healing. You are hoping for the Lord to work wonders in your life. Faith is the assurance of the certainty that is not seen. And on Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because with faith, that's when you come to God, you need to believe that He exists so that you can be sitting in the chairs that you are sitting on. Hallelujah. When you came into this church, you didn't go to the chair. You have faith, my people. You didn't go to the chair and say, oh, can this chair stand my weight? Are there four legs on this chair? You just came in as usual. You just sat. You didn't ask. And you didn't even check if this chair is not going to fall over. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the certainty that this chair is going to contain and uphold me as I sit. So when you sit in those pews, you have faith. You have faith. You have faith. So when you feel sick, believe it in your heart. I have the faith. And faith says it is the certainty of things not seen. Faith. The assurance. Trust in God. Have faith. Two, soak yourself, immerse yourself in God. Immerse yourself. I've said Isaiah, the whole chapter of 61 is the future of restoration. The future seeking a relationship of God and us. It's God looking for a relationship. God looking for a relationship. And the relationship is He wants to restore us to Himself. Don't you want to be restored to God? Have a relationship. And the Bible says, you will be my priests. I will make you priests. That is the restoration. I will make you priests. God wants to restore you and work wonders in your life. If only you can believe. If only you can believe. Believe in God. Trust in Him. Have faith. Read the Bible. Soak yourself in the Bible. The Bible is the future. It tells you of the past. It tells you of your now. It tells you of what is to come. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible is your future. Palm readers are not future tellers. They are just but trying to see if they can tell the future. The future is God Himself. He knows the end from the beginning. As you sit there by faith, Christ knows already your future from the beginning. I want to end with the last verse. What God can do for you. Isaiah, the last verse. The restoration is happened. What is Isaiah saying? That's the one that I want to end with. The last verse. It says, for as the soil makes the sprout come up and a garden causes the seeds to grow, the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before the whole nations. I like that verse. It's for you. As the Lord makes the ground sprout up with flowers. Yesterday, I was jogging and running through Kirkstall Abbey. I always, at the end of the day, I run into the park, Kirkstall Abbey, and I run round and round and round and round until I do 20 kilometers running. So yesterday when I was running and running, guess what I was seeing? Nice blooming flowers, yellow, pink, gold, purple, white. As I was running around the park, and I was wondering to myself, how can this be? And this is the God that we worship. He can make within your life flowers sprout. He will restore you and make your life a blossom of flowers. He can make the ground sprout up with flowers of different colors, and he will clothe you with his righteousness. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be encouraged today. The future is God, and that future is in you. And this God we worship, this God is what we worship. He is a God who resides within us. As I said in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, behold, I'm standing at the door of your heart and I'm knocking. If you open, I will come into your heart, my Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and we will sup, we will eat, we will be with you. That is a promise that God gives us. He intends to come into our life and make a relationship with us. May you make yourself available to God. It is God who came after us. It is God who came down to us. It is not us who went to God. But when God comes after us, David says, my soul panteth for the Lord as the deer panteth for the waters. Can your soul thirst after God as God thirsts after you? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.